Hello, everybody. This is Jace from the Comic Source Podcast, and I have someone here who wants to share a very special message with all you listeners.
Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Dale. If you don't know me, you might have heard a previous podcast that I did with Jace, and we talked about the Jeremy Dale Skyward Omnibus. Well, I just want to get a heads up to everyone, all the fans out there. The omnibus itself, the Kickstarter went well. We are completely funded. So yay, this means the omnibus is actually going to happen. Now, if you happen to miss out on the Kickstarter and you still want an omnibus, there will be a handful still available. So just send me an email, let me know. I will be at Heroes Con, which is in June in Charlotte, with the omnibuses. So if you have, already backed it and want to pick it up there, or if you would like to be there and pick one up, then I'll definitely be there. I'm also going to be at Dragon Con here in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend. And again, I still may have a few omnibuses left. So thank you everyone for all of your support. It's amazing. The omnibus itself is going to the printers on Monday and it's all going well. So thank you.
All right, listeners, I want to extend my thank you as well. I can't really remember supporting a Kickstarter, being involved with a Kickstarter that went so well. 5 stretch goals. It really exceeded my expectations, and I'm so happy for Kelly and that Jeremy's work is still going to be out there inspiring people, making people smile, for you to all enjoy it. So I add my thanks to Kelly's. And if you have any questions, you can email Kelly. Go back and listen to the previous podcast. We promoted it on the Comic Source for quite a while, so all the details are there. I'll also put the details in the show notes for this episode, so if you want to contact Kelly, have any questions, the details will all be there. So thanks for coming on, Kelly, and giving everyone an update.
No problem. Thanks for having me back, and again, thank you to everyone.
Yep, definitely. Okay, everybody, take care.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And it's time for another Secret War Saturday. So we're going to be covering the most valuable issue in the Secret Wars miniseries. It is number 8, that iconic cover with the words, "Amid the chaos, there comes a costume." So when you think about it, this is really, in a way, the first appearance of Venom. So it's the Spider-Man black and white costume that appears for the first time in a story. And it's funny, it doesn't really play a huge part of the story. I mean, they put it on the cover, and I mean, I understand why they did, because you know, it's Spider-Man getting a new costume after 25 years or whatever. So it was pretty... And back then, I mean, you didn't change people's costumes. Not like they do now. Because it was iconic. The red and blue, that was iconic. And so for them to change it, I mean, it was a big deal at the time. And you had some people that hated it. You had other people that loved it. And again, I just wonder, you know, and Jim Lee's talked about this. In fact, he talked about it at his spotlight panel in WonderCon last weekend about the character that he hated drawing the most was Spider-Man because of all the webs. So you wonder if that played a part in why they decided to go with this. I mean, this it must take no time at all to draw this, as opposed to the costume with all the webs. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. So, and I did say that it's the first appearance of the black costume, but it's the first historical appearance, but the black costume had actually appeared in Spider-Man 252, which came out I want to say a few months before Secret Wars number. Yeah, because 252 came out in May of 1984, and Secret Wars 8 didn't come out till December. So technically, 252 is the first appearance of the black costume, except that chronologically, that takes place after this. So this is, you know, where the costume came from, and based on the fact that Spider-Man had been wearing the costume for like 5 months in his regular title, but nobody knew where it came from. So this another reason that this issue was so highly sought after. So let me go through the creative team first. Secret Wars number 8 is written by Jim Shooter. Pencils are by Mike Zeck. Inks are by John Beatty, and this time he gets an assist by Jack Abel and Mike Esposito. And colors are by Christy Scheel. So as we saw at the end of the last issue, the X-Men had agreed to keep an eye on Galactus and free up Captain America and his band of heroes to go and back up She-Hulk, who had taken it upon herself to attack the villains because they had killed the Wasp, or so she thinks. And so this issue starts off, and it's called Invasion. The heroes, as I said when talking about last issue, are finally going on the offensive. So we see Thor, Hulk, Spidey, Captain Marvel, and the Human Torch kind of on their – well, Spider-Man sitting on the back of the Hulk. But those heroes along with Iron Man are kind of on their own. They're able to, you know, fly and get there on their own. Meanwhile, the new Spider-Woman, Thing, Mr. Fantastic, Hawkeye, and Captain America are all on a slab of stone that Iron Man is carrying. And they soon arrive at the massive foreboding Fortress of Doom rising from the horizon. So they get a battle plan and attack. Of course, Thor's hammer punching a hole in the side of the Doom base so the heroes can get in. We see that Enchantress is the first to take notice. She's like, ah, that's Thor's hammer. Oh, no. And this war is not working out very well. So Enchantress is in her cups, very much so. In fact, she asks the innkeeper to fetch her another flagon of mead. But there is no mead, and there is no innkeeper. She is just really drunk. So she calls up an image. She sees that, in fact, she's correct. The heroes are attacking. And she says, maybe I should go and try to kiss Thor, and maybe I could earn his love. And she considers the fact that back in issue 4, her and Thor were alone together, and she just needed to give him one kiss, and he would have fallen under her spell, or perhaps he would have been strong enough to resist, but she would have herself been kind of enthralled by this kiss from Thor and decided to turn over a new leaf and become a good guy. But before she can even really make her way over to where the heroes are, she really shows how drunk she is and basically falls over on the floor and appears to be down for the count. Meanwhile, Volcana hears the commotion as well, but she's not going to leave Owen's side, the Molecule Man. And she says if any of them dare to come in here, she'll kill them, especially Wolverine. The scene shifts next to the dungeon, where we see that Claw has allowed the lizard out of his cell. And then we see elsewhere in the fortress, the Wrecking Crew along with Absorbing Man and Titania are still beating on She-Hulk. And then they hear the noise, and Absorbing Man says, "That's Thor's hammer. Believe me, I know." He's heard it many times. And so they say, "Great, let's go bash him." And they all head toward the noise, and Dr. Octopus is the one that stops and says, "You know what? The coup de grace." And he smashes She-Hulk up against some wreckage and then goes to fight the heroes, believing that She-Hulk is dead, basically. Meanwhile, we see Doom is still really messed up, super out of it, just laying around in his quarters with Ultron guarding him. The heroes finally break through and Captain Marvel says that in her light form, she'll be able to cover the miles of corridors in the blink of an eye. And they say, go ahead, we'll flush out the bad guys. And Iron Man is the first to encounter one of the villains, and the Wrecker basically hits him in the ribs with his crowbar and almost cuts him in half and damages his armor before Wrecker takes a repulsor to the face. And then the battle is basically joined. And what I love here is how well Shooter portrays Spider-Man as not just some wimp. He takes out Bulldozer in one shot. I mean, you know, Bulldozer and She-Hulk had kind of a somewhat of a prolonged battle. But Spider-Man, one hit, knocks Bulldozer's helmet off, and Bulldozer's down for the count. I just love that. And then with his spider sense, he manages to dodge Absorbing Man's blow. And before Absorbing Man can follow up, the Thing engages with him, but then turns back into Ben Grimm and is in deep trouble. But Spider-Woman is there, and she manages to grab Absorbing Man and throw him into the wall so hard that he becomes embedded in the wall. And he's like, as soon as I peel myself out of this wall, lady, you're going to be in big trouble. But before he can even do that, Spider-Woman picks up his wrecking ball and smashes him in the face with it and knocks him out. So it's a really fun moment for the new Spider-Woman. And we also see a cool moment with Hawkeye and Piledriver. Hawkeye's warning him to stay back, and Piledriver's like, man, bullets bounce off me. You can't hit me. You keep missing. And Hawkeye's like, I'm missing on purpose because my bow hits a lot harder than bullets. Now, please back off. But Piledriver keeps coming. And so Hawkeye shoots him in the shoulder. And Piledriver's like, what? You know, he is not used to being wounded in battle. He's used to, as he mentioned, bullets bouncing off of him. And so he's kind of out for the count just because he's so surprised that he's actually wounded. Meanwhile, Hulk breaks into where the Enchantress is, and it seems like she's recovered somewhat, at least enough to be on her feet. And you can tell the Hulk's like, man, I don't want to hit a woman. And the Enchantress is like, oh, you don't have to hit me. I'm the Enchantress. Aren't I lovely? Look in my eyes. And Hulk passes out. And the Enchantress says, mortal cretin, and pours herself another glass of mead. Meanwhile, Captain America shows up and says, what have you done to the Hulk? Says, don't worry. He's asleep and dreaming of me, much as you will be. But Captain America's like, not going to happen. So Enchantress is like, wow, your will is very strong. We'll do this the hard way. And she starts firing out bolts of energy at Captain America, but he dodges them all. And Enchantress is like, you would not strike me. And Captain America's like, you know what? Not if there's any other choice, but take a shield to the face. He basically just flattens her by smashing his shield into her face. And right after that, the Human Torch shows up and says, hey, what happened here? And Captain America says, no time to explain. I'm trying to locate Doom. And then the scene shifts to my favorite scene in this in this issue, or my favorite fight. And it's Titania against Spider-Man. And she's kind of up in the rafters trying to move this giant steel girder to smash the heroes. And Spider-Man shows up and says, I thought I sent somebody up here trying to drop a 40-ton beam on our heads. And Titania's like, Spider-Man. And keeps trying to punch him, and he keeps moving out of the way, calls him a scrawny little runt. And she's like, I don't have to hit you, but he dodges everything. And so she picks up that giant beam that she was about to drop on everybody and gets ready to squash Spider-Man like a bug. Meanwhile, we see Ben Grimm now, you know, he changed back from Thing, and he gets Hawkeye's attention and says, I'm not sure where everybody else went. This place is big, but I think they went this way. And they stumble upon Claw and the Lizard. And Hawkeye's like, man, I don't even have any more arrows. And Ben Grimm clearly is in no condition to fight Claw and the Lizard. So Hawkeye's like, I think we're going to have to outwit them. And Ben Grimm's like, us? I mean, those two aren't exactly known for their smarts. Then we switch back to the infirmary, where Volcana is still, she's now in her volcanic form, her plasma form. and she's still trying to protect Molecule Man. And he's actually awake now and says, "Marcia?" And she's like, very glad to see him awake and says, "Don't worry, you know, I'll protect you." And Iron Man and Mr. Fantastic come around the corner and they almost get blasted because Volcana just unleashes all kinds of plasma. And Iron Man says, "I can handle it." And he jumps in the middle of the plasma and heads toward her. And Mr. Fantastic's like, "No, don't. That's too much even for your armor. The plasma has too much heat." And he's right in a way because Molecule Man erects a shield, a dome around Volcana and himself. And Iron Man reaches the dome but can get no further. And he's actually on his knees because a lot of his systems are down. Circuits are overheated and burnt out. So Volcana asks for a port so she can fire through. So Molecule Man creates a little hole and she's about to fry Iron Man completely. But Mr. Fantastic grabs him out of the way, burning his hands in the process because his armor is so hot. And Volcana's like, "I missed." And Molecule Man says, "It's okay. We can pick him off at our leisure. We're safe in here. Nothing can get through his invisible little shield." And then Captain Marvel says, "It is invisible, but it's transparent, which means light can get through." And so she gets through and she grabs him around the neck, not realizing how badly he's hurt. And he actually passes out again from the pain. And Volcana's like, "Stop, stop. I surrender. I love him so much. Look what you've done." And Captain Marvel actually feels bad. She's like, "Oh, he's wounded. Sorry." Meanwhile, we switch back to the fight between Titania and Spider-Man. And as Titania brings down the giant girder, of course, Spider-Man jumps out of the way. And Titania, you can tell she's getting frustrated. She's like, "Impossible. Nobody can move that fast." Spider-Man says, "Nobody else." He's like, "Why is that so surprising to a woman who can lift locomotives?" And like I said, you can just tell she's getting really frustrated. She's like, "Yeah, there's little room to maneuver, but you can't even lay a glove on me. The X-Men couldn't. Absorbing Man can't. Not you." And then he kicks her in the back of the head. And she's like, "Will you just stand still? This is not fair. This is not fair." And Spider-Man says, "Oh, I guess it'd be fair if we're fighting in a broom closet, right?" She's like, "Man, you know, you aspire to be a bully and you're a classic." And grabs her by the leg and she's yelling, "Stop it, stop it, stop it." She says, "You talk pretty tough when you have the upper hand, but when you're losing, man, you just wimp out." And he throws her through the wall. So again, I love in this issue just how powerful Spider-Man is portrayed by Shooter. It's really, really cool. So Titania goes through the wall, falls to the ground. I mean, they're pretty high up, and she's still muttering to herself that it's not fair. Meanwhile, Human Torch stumbles across a pile driver who's laying on the ground, passed out from blood loss, and Captain America's right behind him yelling, "Look out!" And it's Ultron. They have found Doom's quarters, but Ultron there is there guarding him. And doesn't look like they're going to be able to take out Ultron. Captain America is barely able to just stand his ground, hiding behind his shield from all the energy blasts of Ultron. And Human Torch fires at him, but you know he's made of adamantium. He's not melting. And he's starting to get the upper hand. He manages to grab Human Torch as he's flying through the air. And Captain America says, "Use your Nova Flame." And Human Torch responds, "No, you know, you're too close. I'll end up hurting you too." And Captain America's like, "No, I'll be fine. Do it. Don't hold back. Get everything you got." And then as we turn the page, we see that the Human Torch really did give it everything he had. The walls are melted. Everything is slag. There's a giant crater. Ultron appears unharmed on the outside. But Human Torch guesses that something non-adamantium inside must have overheated. So he's out for the count. He's pretty much, you know, used up his powers for the moment. So Captain America says, "Lay here and rest. I'm going to go find Doom." And find Doom he does. And he's ready to fight. And Captain America's like, okay, whatever happened to you, you're barely alive. And you're completely out of it. You're harmless." So the rest of the heroes make their way to the dungeon. They find Hawkeye and Ben Grimm playing patty cake with the insane claw and the lizard. And the lizard says, "Disturb our game and the lizard will destroy you. But once we finish, we'll do whatever you say." So yeah, they did indeed outwit them by teaching them to play patty cake, apparently. Finally, Captain Marvel stumbles across She-Hulk and she's in pretty bad shape. But Mr. Fantastic, despite his injuries to his hands from grabbing the hot armor of Iron Man, is able to get everybody into the kind of the med bays, if you will, the cell regenerative devices, including She-Hulk. And he says, you know, we got to her in time, just in time. If we'd been a few seconds later, it might not have been okay. But he thinks she's going to make it. And in addition, we find out that Doom is in a cell. They were not able to put him in a cell regenerative device because of his armor. And Reed says, you know, there's not much of his armor left, but what is left is probably booby-trapped, and it would take us weeks to get him out of it. So, you know, for now, he's just locked up in a cell. And we see the rest of the villains are locked up as well, including Absorbing Man and the Lizard. And Hawkeye says that he wishes that Lizard and Claw could have been locked up together because they've become such good friends. And Hulk responds, hey, being insane doesn't mean they're not still dangerous, Hawkeye. So with everybody locked up, the heroes decide that they're going to, well, Hawkeye and Captain Marvel decide they're going to go get the Wasp body and bring it back to the Doom base, which is now their base, to give her a proper burial. And as the scene switches to the village, we see Colossus carrying Zsasi to her quarters and laying her down. She says, rest easy, I won't leave your side. If I could only find out what's wrong. And then he sees the bottle, the one the Human Torch spoke of, that has the mind-linking vapors. And he takes the lid off and does partake of the vapors and sees that, you know, sees in his mind's eye the scene where Zsasi had tried to heal the Wasp and was unable to, and then sees how angry the rest of the Avengers were, and sees Zsasi go back later and basically pour all her own strength and vitality into the Wasp body. Because the truth is that she wasn't dead. She was just in a death-like stasis. So she healed the Wasp's wounds and saved her life very nearly at the cost of her own. And we see that based on this, based on his infatuation, it seems like Colossus has very much fallen in love with Zsasi. And as Hawkeye and Captain Marvel show up to get the Wasp's body, they find her alive. They're very excited. Very, very excited. And the Wasp says, yes, thanks to Zsasi, I suppose I'm, you know, I'm alive. And is then more distraught, not from the fact of possibly having died, but by the fact that she doesn't have any makeup and her hair is probably a mess. So typical Wasp, I suppose, in a way. Meanwhile, the scene shifts to the X-Men, who continue to watch Galactus. And Professor X says that they swore to Captain America they'd stand guard and hold out against Galactus if necessary. And apparently something happens because Cyclops says, look there. But we don't find out what it is because the scene shifts to back to the Doom base where Reed Richards is repairing Iron Man's armor. And the Hulk and Thor have new costumes because they found a machine that was able to produce any sort of clothing that they want. So Spider-Man's like, my costume's in pretty bad shape, and it beats stabbing my thumb with a needle, so I'm going to go check that out. And he isn't sure which one of the gizmos it is, and so he finds one that has like a skull cap on it and a seat, and he sits there and kind of thinks about what he wants, and a little black ball appears, and he picks it up, and it starts spreading black stuff all over his arm. And before he knows it, he's covered in that black suit, Spider-Man costume, the Venom costume, whatever you want to call it, all black with the white eyes and the white spider. And he's like, wow, that glob just spread out and became a new costume, dissolving away the tatters of my old one. He's like, not bad, different, but not bad. And he's like, I wonder why it didn't come out like my old one. That's what I was thinking of. And then thinks that maybe subconsciously he drew on what Spider-Woman's costume looked like. And as he's thinking that, there's a planet quake, and all the heroes receive a mental message from Professor Xavier saying, Captain America, come at once. It has begun. Galactus is devouring the planet. So it will be continued in issue 9. So as I mentioned at the start, you know, the costume shows up on the very last page. So I do find it interesting that it's on the cover. But regardless of that, this is a pretty much an all action issue. It's as I said, finally the issue that really kind of turns the tide. The heroes go on the offensive. They manage to defeat the villains. There's some really cool moments, like Spider-Man tossing Titania through a wall, Spider-Man knocking down a bulldozer with one punch. Spider-Woman taking out Absorbing Man was a nice moment as well, just because we really didn't have any idea how powerful she was or wasn't. Hawkeye taking out Pile Driver, who basically kind of psychologically removes himself for the fight once he realizes he can be wounded. The fact that Ben Grimm and Hawkeye managed to outsmart the Lizard and Claw by introducing them to Patty Cake. There's just a lot of cool moments, a lot of little details in here. Captain Marvel being able to get through the shield makes perfect sense. That was logically resolved. So I think this is a very well-paced issue, in addition to being full of action. And it, as I said, it really kind of turns the corner. It's from here on out is almost all action, and it really marks a turning point. So this is probably up there with issue 4 as my favorite issues of the series. My all time favorite moment, as I said back in issue 4, is when the mountain range gets dropped on the heroes, but the Spider-Man Titania fight comes in a close second. I really get a kick out of that every time I see it, just because she thinks she's got this power. She came from nothing, a little petite nothing woman who got bullied by everybody in her life, and now she has power and she's turned the tables. And the fact that this puny bug Spider-Man gets the best of her, it just, puts her back in that place. Even though she's powerful and, physically strong and everything, it puts her back in that place. And it's a great juxtaposition. What are your thoughts on issue 8, Manny?
My bad. I had my microphone on mute. And since I'm using my tablet to scroll through the issue, for some reason, I thought my laptop was also a touchscreen. Issue 8 for me, I thought I was super excited to get to it because, as you talked about, it's the origin of the black Spider-Man costume. But I don't know, maybe because of the hype, I was a little bit let down. Needless to say, I love the cover. I thought all the action in the back is really what makes the cover so cool. And this past weekend when we were at WonderCon, I happened to pick one up. So I'm very happy with my acquisition. I love how it starts with the heroes all heading into action. The second page where you have Thor, almost kind of in a Lion King position with Thing and Captain, and I mean all of them going in, and it just kind of slows down to a drunk enchantress. I don't know, I found that kind of annoying. And then, but obviously the highlight of this issue is Spider-Man. Well, when he's fighting different villains throughout the attack, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then finally at the end, he just, we get to see the iconic, black suit, which I think, which at first I was kind of thinking like, man, they should have just let off with that and then have him fight. But then I realized that then putting that near the end of the and after the fights was a much better idea, just because you get the sense of his powers as they're originally meant to be, not enhanced. So all those awesome things that he did against Titania, against Bulldozer, that's just how awesome Spider-Man is. So I ended up solving my own debate there. And then Spider-Woman as well. I mean, she takes care of the bad guy as well. Just very, very, very quickly, the absorbing man. So the Spider family doing great things. That's why the issue got a couple of mixed feelings about it, just because of that. Enchantress didn't really like that. Wondering what's going on with... I kind of didn't like how dismissive Captain America was with Doom. He's like, whatever happened to him, he's barely alive and seems completely out of it. He's harmless, just walks away. It's like, dude, no, that's Dr. Doom. Like, you don't just walk away from Dr. Doom. He's, in my opinion, he's never harmless. So that kind of bugged me. And then at the end with... near the end with the Wasp, where she's like, oh my god, I don't have any makeup on. I kind of really rolled my eyes at that point. So, and then the book had a really nice cliffhanger at the end with Professor Xavier. So, yeah, good issue.
Yeah, I feel like, you're right in a way. The issue is almost like a series of moments. And a lot of them are cool and some of them are not so cool. But I will say this in defense of the moments that you don't care for that much. I agree with you on the Dr. Doom. Captain America seems to dismiss him a little too easily. But it's not like it comes back to bite him in the butt, because, you know, we do see at the end of the issue that, yeah, I mean, Doom's locked up. But I agree. I don't think that Captain America would just be like, okay, he's harmless. I mean, Captain America's too smart for that. But yeah, other than that, like, I think the Wasp moment and the Enchantress moment they're a little of their time. And that's just kind of the way that these characters were portrayed back then. And so I don't really have a problem with them for that. And so many of the other moments are really cool. One I forgot to mention was the Human Torch, when he goes like full on Nova Flame and can't melt Ultron or damage Ultron's body, but melt something inside. And it's just the scene where everything, I mean, the entire room around Captain America is just slag, basically. I mean, he burned a crater in the ground. So, a lot of good moments. And Zek's art continues to be very good. Love his facial expressions. Maybe with the exception of Colossus, I don't feel like he draws Colossus in human form particularly well. But like the panel with Hawkeye and Captain Marvel where they discover Wasp is still alive. Great job by Zek to show the emotion and the surprise. And then of course, you know, the Black Spider-Man costume, it's almost a full panel page when it shows up. And I think I heard Mike Zek say that this is the issue he's been asked to sign more than any other. It's either this one or Secret Wars number one. Like those two, Secret Wars number one and Secret Wars number eight are the two most requested issues, or two issues that he's signed the most in his life. I can't remember. I think eight might be slightly ahead of one, but I could be mistaken about that. So. Yeah, so there's four issues to go, 9, 10, 11, and 12. As I said, this is really where the story starts to pick up, and it's pretty much all action from here on out. So I can't wait for Manny to read the rest and hear what his thoughts are, and I'm looking forward to reading the rest myself. I feel like I remember 11 and 12 pretty well. I know 9 is the fight with Galactus, but sitting here thinking about it, I can't really remember what goes down in 9 or 10. So, I mean, 10 I have a little bit of an idea because I remember the cover, but, and I know next issue the heroes all get together and attack Galactus, but I just don't remember how it resolves. So that's going to be fun for me to refresh my memory. So I think that's going to do it for this episode of Secret War Saturday. Don't forget to go to LRM online for all past episodes of the podcast. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where you can find us on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great places to follow along with our convention coverage and find out whenever we're releasing new episodes. So once again, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.